The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli came, called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. St. Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with the price. So, glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater these things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John chapter 1, 43 to 51, which is our gospel lesson. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel lessons for this Sunday and next Sunday tell the stories of the recruiting of six of Jesus' apostles. These were Andrew, Peter, James, John, Philip, and Nathanael. All six of these were recruited early in Jesus' ministry, shortly after his return from the 40 days in the wilderness. We know that Matthew, one of the gospel writers, was recruited sometime later. For the other five apostles, Thomas, Jude, James the Less, or the Lesser James, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, we have no recruitment stories in the New Testament. To what did Jesus recruit these 12 men? Medieval portraits of the apostles often portray them with a bishop's mitre, a coned hat, on their heads, and a staff in their hands. In the medieval period, bishops were secular rulers, lawgivers, and judges, with the power to condemn criminals and their enemies. And this is what people in the Middle Ages thought that the apostles were, and what Jesus had commissioned them to do. In recent years, a similar idea has surfaced in the American evangelical idea that pastors, like myself, are called to be corporate executives, that is, CEOs or bosses of their church. Jesus did not call his apostles to be bosses who told other people what to do. Jesus told his apostles what he wanted them to do, and that he wanted them to do it. In Luke 9, 1-6, the evangelist describes Jesus' commissioning of the 12. I quote, "Then Jesus called his 12 apostles together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. End of quote. After they had had about 2 years of experience and coaching from Jesus in these duties, he added a few more duties just before his ascension. This passage is well known. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he said, quote, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. End of quote. So then, if we put all these together, the commands Jesus gave to the apostles, we have these six things. Number one, cast out demons. Two, heal the sick. Three, preach. Four, baptize. Five, teach Christians Jesus' words. And six, travel to all the nations to make Christians of them. Except for Judas Iscariot, all the 12 apostles perform these duties with ability and enthusiasm, and you know what happened to him. After Pentecost, they continued their work in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Some went on missionary trips and returned to Jerusalem, as St. Paul did in three major trips. Others went out to the nations and never came back, as St. Paul did on his fourth trip to Rome, where he was eventually martyred. Although he was not one of the original 12, Paul's missionary journeys take up 2/3 of the book of Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles. From the book of Acts and other historical sources, which are accurate, we know quite a bit about the missionary trips and the fates of the original 12 apostles. Peter traveled to Antioch, to Syracuse, and ended his journeys in Rome, where he too was martyred like Paul. Andrew traveled around the shores of the Black Sea, founded the church at Byzantium, and was martyred at the city of Patras in Greece. James was martyred by Herod in Jerusalem in the first general persecution of the Christian church. John traveled to Western Asia Minor, where he was a pastor in Ephesus, and later wrote letters to the churches in Asia Minor from exile on the island of Patmos. Philip traveled to Syria, to Greece, and to Phrygia, and was martyred in Hierapolis, east of Ephesus. Nathanael, who figures majorly in our gospel today, traveled to Arabia, Ethiopia, Mesopotamia, to Parthia, also known as Persia, and finally was martyred in Armenia. Matthew traveled to Macedonia, to Ethiopia, to Persia, and to Parthia, and also was martyred. Thomas traveled to Parthia and then to the western coast of India, where he was martyred and is still remembered as the Apostle of India. Jude traveled to Libya, to Mesopotamia, to Armenia, and then to Syria, where he was martyred. James the Lesser traveled to Egypt, where he was martyred. And Simon the Zealot traveled to Egypt, to Persia, and to Syria, where he was finally martyred. What can we learn from the stories of these 12 apostles? First, we learn that being an apostle of Jesus was dangerous business. Except for John, all of them were martyred. And they tried to kill John, but it didn't work. That's a whole other story. Second, we learn that the apostles themselves were responsible for extending the borders of the Christian church in their lifetime. They didn't put it off to somebody else. They were commissioned by Jesus, and they're the ones who were at the frontier of the Christian church. They pushed the boundaries west to Rome, north to the Crimean Peninsula in the Black Sea, south to Ethiopia, and east to India. The missionaries who succeeded them after their death relentlessly pushed these boundaries west, north, south, and east. And by the second half of the 5th century, St. Patrick was preaching in Ireland, which was as far west as you could go in those days. By the first half of the 7th century, Christian missionaries reached China. That's the 7th century. And they erected a church in its largest city at the time, Chang'an. 7th century, Christians were in China, as far east as you could go. Third, we learn that the missionary expansion of the church was not left by Jesus to chance. It was part of his plan from the very beginning. When he selected Peter, Philip, Nathanael, and all the others, he was selecting men whom he knew could withstand the rigors of travel in that day. And after his resurrection, they would not run away from the face of danger. Fourth, we learn that the work of Jesus gave to his 12 apostles in his day still continues today. Although casting out of demons, healing the sick, and miraculous powers ceased in the church after the death of the apostles, the other tasks still remain. Jesus still expects the church and its ministers to continue to preach, baptize, teach Christians all of his words, and travel to all the nations to make Christians of them. That is why, for example, our former pastor and his wife, Pastor Fro, have gone to Kenya to make Christians of those people. The people and pastors of Grace Lutheran Church, San Mateo, have continued that work of the apostles as we have preached, baptized, taught the Bible to Christians young and old, operated a Christian day school, started new churches in this county and in Colorado Springs, and supported the missionary efforts of the larger church with our offerings. We are doing the apostles' work in today's world. Finally, we learn that the purpose of all this missionary activity is not to simply build a religious organization, but to bring people of all nations to say with Nathanael, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." The focus of all truly Christian mission work has been to convince people that Jesus is the Messiah promised by the prophets. He is the divine Son of God and the divine Savior of the world. Everything that we believe, teach, and confess is rooted in and focused on the belief that Jesus is God, that through his life and his suffering and death, you are reconciled to God, and that because of this, you have the certain promise of eternal life. This is the gospel which the 12 apostles preached to all the nations. This is the gospel which we continue to preach and teach today. In Jesus' name, amen.